American State Trials, 1918, Volume X. Leo Frank, document page 701. Here is the translated text as follows. Mrs. Herman H. Hirsch. You'll be protected and we'll stand by you. We'll see that you shall never be harmed and you shall be taken care of. I went to the bridge party and after leaving, returned to Mr. Adair's office. I told him that I had been thinking over the matter and didn't know what to do. He said, "Well, there's only one thing to do. You'll simply have to go away." I replied, "Mr. Adair, I have practically realized that I have to do anything you all say, because I'm going to be ruined here anyway. But if I leave and no harm comes to Mr. Candler, I think I should be assured a living. If you say that you are going to send me an amount each month, I have no assurance that it will be done. Things might happen." He responded, "Well, we couldn't draw up papers to make it legal because we would expose the whole thing as to why Mr. Candler is paying you this annuity." I then suggested, "Couldn't an amount, the interest on which would be sufficient to make this annuity, be deposited somewhere so I could draw the interest from that?" Mr. Forrest Adair said, "That would be a good plan, George. We can get bonds, and she can clip the coupons." I didn't know there was such a thing as clipping coupons on bonds. I've never had enough money to know that was done at all. That was Mr. Forrest Adair's own suggestion. Mr. George Adair said, "No, Mrs. Hirsch has been to a bridge party this afternoon, which shows that she plays cards. She might take the amount and squander it or gamble it in some way and then come back on Mr. Candler." I replied, "Don't you know that if I leave here under the cloud that you are trying to get me to do, I couldn't come back on Mr. Candler for anything, and nobody would believe me if I did." They finally agreed that it was all right. I should be given an amount of money or bonds. They said that would make $250 a month, and Mr. Forrest Adair said, "Well, I'll say that we'll do that." It was agreed that I shouldn't leave until after Mr. Hirsch had come home Friday evening and left for Pittsburgh the following Sunday. They agreed that while he was as far away as Pittsburgh would be a good time for me to leave because it would give me time to get far enough away. So I left the office, promising to call them up as soon as Mr. Hirsch left. Mr. Irwin's testimony is true. I thought he might help me as I knew nothing about investments. So is Mr. Young's. I was afraid that someone might steal the bonds I expected to get. Mr. Hirsch came home late Friday night. On Sunday, I saw him off on the Pittsburgh train and then called up Mr. Adair to tell him he had gone. The next morning at 9:30, I was at his office. Asa Candler Jr. was there, and I began to cry right away. I said that it seemed I was being subjected to a great deal of embarrassment and that I didn't want to talk about this to so many people. He said, "Well, it's very necessary that Asa Candler should be here to complete our arrangements. For," he said, "I led you to believe falsely yesterday when I told you Mr. Cook had softened.